News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, 6 minutes after 8 o'clock. Cloudy and nothing really to report. Nothing's, you know, going on crazy weather-wise. Not going to have any rain today. It's just going to be overcast. And right now we're at 68 degrees. Mm. Looks like the end of the week, beginning Thursday, looks to be
beautiful.
Wonderful. Yeah, just great. So, Dr. Bill, with more on that as we go along here today.
Yeah, and that works out perfectly for me and everyone else who is headed out to the Discover North Baldwin Outdoor Expo Saturday. It's looking like a beautiful day as we'll be out there at the Bicentennial Park in Stockton all day, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. So we'll get out in time for the final four games, which will be on after that. So looking forward to some great weather this weekend. I missed Friday. I was down for like a family reunion, mm-hmm. Easter kind of thing. Did Dr. Bill give it a perfect 2.0?
He
was
not.
It was under 2.0.
Yeah. Okay. I think the reason was yesterday, as it turned out, was, I think it was Sunday, he projected
some clouds.
To be, yeah, a little cloudy.
Okay. Well, it was a beautiful weekend and another beautiful weekend on the way. Great weekend for Bama fans. And, you know, it would already have been a great weekend if, I mean, they made it into the Final Four.
Yeah.
And they beat North Carolina in the Sweet 16 and then Clemson to get there. The North Carolina win, obviously a huge, huge program victory, everything. But then on top of Bama making it to the Final Four, Tennessee loses.
There,
so they're out. I mean, could it have been? The only way that it could have been better, I guess, is if Auburn had lost. But they probably prefer that Auburn lost to Yale in week one, round one.
Yeah, more embarrassing.
More embarrassing for Auburn. Yeah. So Bama fans really had a heck of a weekend with their team now in the Final Four and Tennessee out. I thought it was also interesting, and we'll get to plenty of the news nationally, locally as well, but the NCAA tournament is obviously a big deal. And with Alabama moving into the Final Four, an even bigger deal. But this is like the last year of the Pac-12 and the Big 12 as we know it, right? You've got Oklahoma and Texas
moving to
the SEC. You've got all these Pac-12, pretty much all of the Pac-12 teams leaving. And they don't have a single team in either the men's Final Four. The Pac-12 might get a team in the women's Final Four. But you look at the men's Final Four and you've got UConn, Big East,
yeah.
Bama, SEC. You've got NC State is ACC,
mm-hmm.
and then Purdue, which is Big Ten. So a bad look for the Pac-12 and the Big 12. They don't get a single team in. And like I said, USC might get in tonight for the women's NCAA tournament. What about the – so for the college football playoff, you had Bama. You had
Michigan.
Who else did we have in there? They had the win over – I don't know if
– Washington.
I guess – and USC didn't make it in. So you didn't have a – Washington would have been the only Pac-12 team, right?
Mm-hmm.
Bad look for the Pac-12 and Big 12 as they break up. This was their last chance to get anything done here.
They didn't get it done, for
didn't.
Sure. So,
no.
And I was looking at Alabama, too. Did Auburn win the SEC tournament?
They did, yeah.
Okay, so
they said they weren't losing another game the rest of the way.
Yeah, he said, we came to Nashville to win all our games, which I guess would have been two, mm-hmm. Where they were seated. And he said, we're just going to keep on winning. That's a bold statement for sure. But they win the SEC. Of the two teams here in state, Alabama-Auburn, it looked like all the juice was on Auburn.
Yeah,
right?
There was more talk about Samford than there was Alabama going into the tournament.
And I was looking at Alabama really kind of, they had a tough time down the stretch. They lost early in the SEC
tournament.
Yeah,
I can't remember who they fell to. In that.
Yeah, I just was looking at it, and it might have been Mississippi State. I can't remember. But they're also going down the stretch. They played a lot of tough games, and they were, for a while, they win some, they lose some.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have a great year. There was a lot of talk about that the defense just wasn't nearly what it needed to be.
They got blown out by Florida, by the way, in the SEC tournament.
They got lost to Florida also late in the regular season. They just didn't have a whole lot of momentum. And teams were scoring a lot of points against them. And while they could score, they just didn't seem like a very complete team.
Mm-hmm.
So what they've done here, getting to the Final Four, I think it talks more about that coach. And I think Nate Oates is a great coach. And how about the way he was discovered, if you don't know the story, Bobby Hurley, the former Duke point guard, was the head coach at University of Buffalo. He's kind of ascending on his way up. I think he's at Arizona State now. He is recruiting a player that Nate Oates is coaching at a high school in Detroit, I think. He's so impressed with Nate Oates, he's like, well, I'd like to have the kid, but I think you could help me.
Yeah.
So he recruits Nate Oates to the University of Buffalo.
To coach.
Moves on to Arizona State. Nate Oates takes over the University of Buffalo and wins like crazy, like they'd never seen before. And that's how he got the Alabama job. And now, in the Final Four, Alabama will take on UConn, coached by
Dan Hurley.
Mm-hmm. So you've got that connection. Oates doesn't make any false claims that Bobby is on the fence on who he's rooting for. But I think that's an interesting story. He was such a good coach that a coach in college
recruited him. It came for a player and left for the coach.
Yeah, probably both.
Now, they got a good draw. I mean, there's no doubt about that. They beat Charleston, which was their first-round game, a 13 seed. Remember, Grand Canyon upset St. Mary's in the first round. So Bama went from a 13 seed in the first round to facing 12th-seeded Grand Canyon in the second round.
Right.
Took care of business there. But then it was the big one against North Carolina. And I was listening to that as I was driving to Orlando Thursday night. What a win. I mean, same way Auburn made it as far as they did just a few years ago is by beating number one seed North Carolina. Bama does the same thing. And what a game from Newsom there, too. I mean, was it Newsom or what's the kid's name? Grant Nelson, that's who it was.
Nelson,
he just started. He was playing so great Thursday night, and then you had the game Saturday. So props to Bama fans. I know they're excited. Do you think you're going to beat UConn? I mean, 11.5-point favorites for the Huskies. Mm. They're defending champs. They're beating everybody by 30 points.
Yeah.
So it's a big one on the way for the Alabama Crimson Tide.
You know what? I would say that Alabama, at least with their offense, and we'll see how it matches up against UConn. The one thing that the coaches are saying about UConn is they're just tenacious. They just really, really play really hard at every turn. I mean, they're never going to get caught off guard. Hurley coaches them really hard, but they're buying in because they like him, and so their effort is always on this certain level. They have all these players who have returned. It doesn't look like they've got a bunch of NBA guys on that team.
They just got a bunch of really good players.
At the college level. So, I think if you played conventionally against UConn, well, Illinois tried that. How'd that work out? 30 consecutive points by UConn in that game.
Yeah.
And we're talking about in the Sweet 16 where you're playing good teams, right?
Yeah.
They were up 28-3, and then they were up 28-23, UConn had the lead, and then it suddenly was like 58-20, something like that.
Yeah, they went on a massive run.
30 in a row. So we'll see if Bama can, if there's a team that could, play a team like that and have a shot with Bama's offense, they might be it.
Yeah, if they can score, they've got a good chance. So that's been really entertaining to watch. Looking at the text line, Michael says, wreck I-10 westbound just before the tunnel. Wreck I-10 westbound just before the tunnel. We'll hopefully have more with Kane in traffic on that here on the way. Jason also texting in this morning, and we got a couple different texts about the Baltimore Bridge collapse. And there's a lot of, there's a lot of conspiracies flying around. And so Jason says, good morning, guys. Did y'all see the barge strike the bridge in Oklahoma? It's unbelievable how present cameras are, even in areas like that. And I don't know if I watched the video of the Oklahoma barge strike. I knew that there was at least another one or two over the last week. Not nearly as busy a port or bridge for this one, but they were able to reopen this Oklahoma highway Saturday. It's over the Arkansas River, so it is a pretty busy river. But it was struck by a barge, Saturday around 1:25 p.m.
And I missed that story completely. I guess I just got basketballs bouncing around my eyeballs, but I missed that story altogether.
So you had the barge strike in Oklahoma, 1:25 p.m., and they had reopened the highway by 4 p.m. So apparently they determined pretty quickly that there wasn't much of reason to worry about the bridge's sturdiness. But then you got this text, unnamed texter here, texted earlier this morning. Why is P. Diddy not in the three big things we need to know? A ship hit a bridge that was controlled demolition, and it covers the news. It's almost like they're using it to hide something else. Also, why is nobody talking about the POW flag that has been hanging under the American flag for the past 2.5 years? I think we, the people, need to wake up sooner rather than later. I'm not sure the POW flag. I know some people fly a POW flag under their American flag.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what reference you're making to there, but we've seen this time and time again where, and it doesn't mean that it's always wrong. I mean, there's a reason people believe in conspiracy theories,
mm-hmm.
but the answer usually is the most obvious answer, right? And I'm not saying that China or Russia or North Korea aren't delighted that something like this would happen to their enemies in America. But I was talking about this a lot over the weekend with some of my relatives. It's like, if that was intentional, the Baltimore Key Bridge going down, like that China somehow hacked that ship, or that, I guess more easily, if there were bad actors on that ship
yeah.
that decided to do that. But why would they do it in the middle of the night, right? If they're trying to cause as much damage as possible and create this huge national story, wouldn't they have, if they had their if the ability to time it when they wanted to, wouldn't they have hit that bridge right around noon or 5 p.m.?
I think if you were looking for massive loss of life, yes. But the damage that's been done to that bridge and now to that harbor and to that port is massive regardless.
Mm-hmm.
It could, you know, I don't know that if that was something that was controlled, that would be spectacular and awful video, right, of the cars tumbling off of the bridge. But at the same time, Sean and I were talking about this on Friday when you were gone, just what this means to the Baltimore Harbor, what this means to the Port of Mobile potentially as well.
Mm-hmm.
What's next? Some dominoes are going to fall here because of that bridge, and that may mean that other ports have got to actually get involved.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we've seen tragedy strike over the years. I mean, the first thing you brought up after we saw this happen in Baltimore was the Amtrak tragedy that happened here. So we've seen it over the years, but I think we're going to increasingly see more things like this happen, not just because things are so much easier to see on the internet, like breaking news out of Tulsa, Oklahoma. You get it as soon as it happens here in Mobile. But so you see more things going on, but I think there's going to be a real crisis of ability in America. And
ability how?
Ability to do a lot of things or to just keep up the things that we have. Like we had, and hopefully we'll still have, such a great stretch of, you know, building beautiful things and useful things and massive things, whether it's, you know, nuclear reactors or humongous bridges that you're like, wow, how did they build that? Well, we had a lot of people building things and doing things like that over the years. And I was just reading the other day, I think it was about nuclear reactors or something of the other. You've had all these smart people over the years just make these massive gains in technology mm-hmm. and the ability of the United States to do things. And the people just aren't able to, I don't think we're putting out the people that can keep those things going, if you know what I mean.
We're not producing the right people.
Right. I don't think we're producing the right people. Mm. And you see it in the airlines right now. You see it in the quality of the goods that we buy, quality of the things that keep us in the air with Boeing or whatever. I just think more and more things that are decades old, we're going to start seeing them kind of fall into disrepair and things like this happen more often.
Not bad. I mean, there is evidence of that all around us, like you say, in the headlines and the stories that we've seen. Boeing just being one example, one that we are happy to pick on, but that is really just one example. 821 with Dan and Dalton, 251-343-0106. Text or call us. Good morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. It is about at 825 on your Monday morning, and okay, the AT&T stuff. I'm going to get to this for sure. Now, I'm an AT&T customer. True. Am I affected? I don't know. AT&T announced on Saturday it's investigating a data breach involving the personal information of more than 70 million current and former customers leaked on the dark web.
Mm-hmm.
So you're thinking that you might be involved because you were a former customer.
So they're saying this compromised data, they think it's from 2019 or earlier, 7.6 million current customers, 65.5 million former customers. So a bulk of this data leak came from former AT&T customers. And it's not just, you know, you see a lot of data leaks and it's like they may see your email that you used to log in and that's it. With this, it was customers' names, email and mailing addresses, phone numbers, social security numbers, dates of birth, their AT&T account numbers, and passcodes. Now, remember, it was just a month ago that AT&T dropped out for half the day?
Yep.
And my brother this weekend said they gave him a $10 credit for that. And I think they gave everyone either $5 or $10 credit, depending on how long your service was out. But at the time, they said it was a software update issue. Like they had some problem with their tech at the main AT&T offices, and that's what caused them to, in major parts of, I think it was international, wasn't it? I don't think it was just national.
It was international.
AT&T dropping out. And then now you've got this news of the data leak. I wonder if this is a case, I mean, if it was 65 million customers that had their data leaked and only 7.5 million current customers, maybe all that information from their former customers, they just don't treat with the same level of security,
or maybe
it was in some other digital bin that the hackers were able to get into. But that's one that catches your eye when you see 76 million, just or 73 million who had their information leaked. That caught my eye.
Yeah, it definitely caught mine being an AT&T customer. Here's what my personal experience from this has been since this all broke. The news broke. And then apparently from the news reports, AT&T reached out to those who they thought were compromised, right? Including 7 million currently, correct? AT&T Mobility has 241.5 million customers.
Mm.
So we're only talking about 7 million.
Is that current customers, 245?
Yep.
So most
241.5 million customers.
Wow.
So most are not affected.
Yeah.
I've received two emails from AT&T over the weekend. One was about you may view your bill, and one was about something about testing your Wi-Fi strength.
Mm-hmm.
So I just checked my deleted messages as well. I didn't receive the email.
Yeah.
Does that mean I'm in the clear? And looking at those numbers now, chances are that I'm not among those because, again, 241 and a half million customers. I'm among those.
Yeah.
And they're only talking about 7 million that were targeted.
Well, as a former AT&T customer, I'm not liking my odds. you seem to like yours being one of the 7 million who are current customers. Yeah, I don't like my odds. And I've thought about that with a bunch of companies.
And how would they reach you if you're no longer a customer, too?
Yeah.
Do they still
because my email was an AT&T email, which I no longer use, so I don't know. But I've thought about how a lot of these companies, once you give them your info, they kind of have you over the barrel.
They do.
And I've wondered if they use whether you're a customer or not. And, of course, they would place more of a premium on their paying customers, right?
I guess.
That's what I've always loved about us here, and we don't make any bones about it. When we do giveaways and we ask for your number, it's strictly to call you back if you're the winner. We shred everything else. We get rid of it. But a lot of these companies, it's all about bringing that data in.
Oh, yeah.
And I've wondered if I want to try this app out, I'll give them my information. You decide you don't like the app. They're going to sell that to some telemarketing company, or what are they going to do with the information of people who aren't using their services?
And how about how many bad apps are out there? Apps that are could be harmful to your phone or to your taking your information. A lot of apps in the app store that are corrupted. People don't know that until they try them out.
But when you see a supposedly trusted company like AT&T lose that much information, that's a bad look.
8:30, Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings.
FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. Coming back to the text line here in a minute, and you can join us at 343-0106. Right now, it's time to head over to McConnell Automotive, where we talk with Louis Arata. Hey, Louis.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are y'all?
Hey, we're doing great, and really nice weather shaping up for us this week, later this week, into the weekend, and good time to ride around in a new vehicle from McConnell Automotive.
Hey, man, I'm sitting there walking through this new inventory of these pickup trucks, man. Hey, you know, you like those AT4Xs, Dalton.
Oh, I love them.
We got a lot of them. We've got the AT4s, and we got the AT4Xs. We got a gas, and we got Duramax. So, I mean, we've got a great selection of new stuff. We got a great selection of Buicks. You can check everything out online at McConnellAutomotive.com. We're going to be here. Looks like the weather's going to hold off, and we'll see a few folks come through here. And if you want to check everything out, like I said, McConnellAutomotive.com, and come by and see us.
Yeah, it's that easy. And, Louie, you guys, that's kind of your calling card at McConnell Automotive is making it easy on the customer. And that's whether they come in to buy a new or pre-owned vehicle or get some work done on their car.
That's right. I'm sitting here looking at three AT4 Yukons. Mm. So, like I said, y'all want those AT4s, we got them. Come on, see us.
You sure do. Thank you, Louie.
Thank you.
That's Louie Arata. Go see him at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65, and the website, McConnellAutomotive.com.
836, Dan and Dalton, Mobile Mornings, and the phone line, 251-343-0106. Freddie wanted to call in. Freddie, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Doing great.
We're doing well. What's going on this morning, Freddie? You want to talk about the Baltimore Bridge?
Yeah, the Baltimore Bridge, and not only the Baltimore Bridge, but also the Ford Mobile, the 10-time waterway. Everybody kind of forgets that the 10-time kind of ties us all together, and there were years that people just touted the benefits of that. And I think now that you're going to see that it will come to fruition as far as its connectivity back to Middle America. And it's going to be interesting to watch our congressional people and whether or not they support a rebuilding efforts in Baltimore, because especially Barrymore, we have a bridge that we're trying to build over the Mobile River, and everybody knows we're one good hurricane away from not having a bridge.
Yeah.
So, I mean, when people talk, I'm hearing in the media that they're talking about not wanting to support this all in to take and rebuild this critical piece of infrastructure for the Port of Maryland. And I'm thinking if you don't realize how important ports are
right
to this country until you don't have one. And listening to Bradley Byrne and other people with the Chamber of Commerce and also those with the Port Mobile, how much the Port Mobile picked up when Long Beach and Los Angeles shut down due to COVID and they couldn't move all the containers off the ships over there.
Freddie, what are you hearing? You mentioned Barry Moore.
You just wanted to see him fight for to keep the toll away, or what are you saying?
I want to see that he takes and he supports. It's part of that Freedom Caucus has always been about, well, we don't want to spend any more money than we have to, right? And I think this is one of them have to situations. And is Barrymore going to take and separate himself and realize that the Port of Mobile is just like the Port of Maryland? They need support when things go wrong, and this is definitely something that's gone wrong.
I see what you're saying, Freddie. But I'm kind of looking at it in the negative. I guess you're looking at it like, hey, we need to this Baltimore Bridge. We need to do whatever it takes to get the Key Bridge back up, get the port flowing in Baltimore again. But I'm looking at that and some of the other major thoroughfares that were either, you know, taken out by Mother Nature or a barge, and how it gets paid for. And I'm still sitting here in Mobile saying, why are we paying a 55-year toll on a bridge that is I-10? It's still... But I see what you're saying, that you want to see some of those in the Republican caucus who don't normally go with the spending. You think they need to jump on this Baltimore Bridge and get it done?
I do think they need to get it done, and for the reasons I cited. It's more than just the Port of Mobile. It's about all the interior of the country that the Port of Mobile connects. And it'd also be useful in the future going forward to get support for dredging the 10-time waterway and keeping that open as an important waterway connection between the Gulf Coast and Mid-America.
Yep, and Dalton was talking about that barge collision was in Mid-America. It was in Oklahoma, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, on the Arkansas River. Appreciate the call, Freddie. And, we'll see what Barry Moore and the rest of the Freedom Caucus have to say. Now, I don't know how that works, though. Potluck Rob texted in. He said the only conspiracy is Biden saying he's going to spend all the money on the bridge. He said, realistically, Lloyd's of London or some similar insurance company will pay for it, not the U.S. government. Yeah, I wonder, the taxpayer, when you talk about the U.S. government, of course, Rob. How does that work? Like when you saw that bridge go down from Katrina in Louisiana, I don't know, did insurance cover that? I'm not sure how with interstates work.
They got it done in Pensacola quickly, too, mm-hmm. right? The bridge to the east of Pensacola got wiped out, and they got that done. It seems like there's no doubt the response to an actual washing out of the bridge or collapsing of a bridge seems to be dramatically treated differently than just a request of we need something better.
And it makes sense, and it's a massive country, but you look at so many things, and you're like, if this was just a single household or even a municipality, things wouldn't be run like this. Like, that you have to wait for disaster and then you get it fixed for free when you're technically penalized. If you're planning ahead, you're like, hey, this bridge is decades old. We need to go ahead and put a new bridge so that something like this doesn't happen. You end up, in addition to taxpayer money being spent on it, you've got, taxpayers paying tolls. And it's mostly people who live in that area and depend on that for way of life.
But Chris Elliott, too, I think you were out of town when he had the conversation with Sean on Midday Mobile. He's got a lot of knowledge when it comes to...
Oh, he's talking about the bridge in Baltimore, yeah, and how it relates to the bridge in Mobile.
And he was talking more about, the bridge in Baltimore, but also our the bridge that we've designed or has been designed for the river over Mobile, not the bay itself, but the river, that's where all the traffic's going to be coming, right? Mm-hmm. He was talking about the design of the bridge that we'll have. Now, we're paying for it, but it's going to be a different design in that it won't be affected in that way. It won't have those pylons where you have a chance of that kind of damage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just built right new way.
Yeah, exactly. That bridge was built back in the mid-70s. And also, so Buttigieg, and this is what I'm hearing too, is they're saying we need bipartisan support for this bridge.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't even occur to me that there wasn't going to be bipartisan support. And I wasn't sure if where Freddie was going there as a member of the Freedom Caucus or whatever, Barry Moore be against sending money to Baltimore?
I haven't seen anyone speak out on it.
I haven't seen it either.
Yeah, no one's vocalized like, hey, we're not paying for this. That would, I think, be a bad political move to come out right now and say that.
But it seems like it would be, but
it's going to be a fight, though, because, I mean, that story we had this morning, the Ukraine aid, that's going to lead to another issue here where we're months out from a general election, and we're going to have Republican infighting and maybe another speaker's race where Mike Johnson might be out. We'll see how that goes. But you think they'll be able to pull off the Ukraine vote and then do something on – I mean, it's going to get ridiculous here over these next few weeks if they continue on the path they're on. I do want to get to some state politics. Let's go through some of these texts first, though. CB Carl says, the reason we won't have people to build or maintain great things is that education nowadays is focused on equity and the lowest common denominator. I can't say that I disagree on that. Like, you can lose the ability to do things.
Yeah, sure.
Obviously, things you probably were able to do as a kid or as a young adult, you stop doing it, you lose that ability later in life. Same thing with building and making and maintaining great things. If you've got people that aren't working on making that their life craft, their trade, and that aren't smart enough to maintain these genius things that have been invented in the past, you're going to run into some issues. And I think that's a big problem we're facing.
You don't want to cut off the top of the class. You don't want to cut off. You don't want to take the terms of the DEI and this kind of thing where you are more concerned about the outcome than you are about the process. You got to keep the process number one. Mm-hmm. So you end up with this top level, top of the class, these geniuses that can do these remarkable things.
Mm-hmm.
Not every you know, every guy that graduates Auburn's engineering school, they're not all the same level. You have people who are absolutely remarkable brains,
yeah,
who've been trained and put into the STEM and all that from a young age, recognized as such. There's no, I don't know a lot of my black friends that would be crazy about getting on an airplane that was going to be piloted by somebody, no matter what he looked like, that was the beneficiary of DEI.
Yeah,
like
diversity quota.
Right. It's like I don't think many would be comfortable with that. And
no, it should be a meritocracy. The best should be the best,
and,
right?
And when you're social engineering and messing with all this stuff in this way, there's going to be outcomes that you're not happy with. Why? Well, mess with the system, and here's now the result.
Let's see. This texter says, thanks, Dalton, for contributing to Horrible Bosses. Bent over a barrel. So, yeah, I can't get that. I love Horrible Bosses, the movie. So I've been saying, instead of over a barrel, bent over a barrel. But it's just a slip of the tongue there.
Okay.
Thanks, another Horrible Bosses fan there. Greg talking about, he said, it also seems if you get an email and you click unsubscribe, you get more subscriptions from a different company emailing you after you unsubscribe. I'm dealing with a battle right now in my email inbox where I started getting a snowboarding newsletter that I have no idea where it came from, just like Snowboarding Daily or something.
Wow.
And I've unsubscribed probably 50 times, and it just
can't
keeps coming. Yeah, I don't know who I have to call to get off the snowboard newsletter.
Hmm.
But it's becoming a real problem, a real problem. So state politics, I thought. And you played Katie Britt. She was on Capital Journal with Todd Stacey late last week.
Right.
But in addition to her, Stacey also had on the two candidates for the Democratic primary in the AL2 runoff. Of course, we've got two runoffs going on simultaneously, and voting is on the way. I mean, we're 15, 16 days out. On April 16th is when the runoff will be held.
And what's really interesting about that Democrat side, I don't think there are a couple of talented politicians and I think people that Democrats can be pleased with.
They may be the two most talented Democrats in the state as far
exactly.
as politically.
But here's what Anthony Daniels is asking, is Shamari Figures in the state?
Mm-hmm.
Now, it doesn't seem so. And then what Shamari Figures is saying, hey, is Anthony Daniels in the district?
Yeah, both are arguing that
the
other is a carpetbagger.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they both did it on the same show. Now, they didn't line up head-to-head
right.
on Capital Journal, but they were both on the same program.
Yes, yeah, I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, so Figures is saying Daniels isn't, I mean, he's representing Huntsville. He's not from here. And Daniel says, you know, I grew up in the district, and that now that he's House Minority Leader,
mm-hmm.
he spends most of his time in Montgomery, which is
right.
in the district.
Right.
And so Figures is like, well, I'm from, you know, Mobile. My mom and dad, longtime politicians from Mobile. And Daniels is saying, well, I mean, you have a house in D.C., and you just registered to vote in Alabama like last year.
Mm-hmm.
So technically he's like, no, you're a DC guy now. You're not a Mobile guy. So they're kind of fighting back and forth on that. I'm not sure that maybe it does matter in the Democrat runoff. I'm not sure that that where they live is as big a deal there. Maybe it is. I don't know. But I mean, Figures is the Mobile guy
he
in
is.
This race.
He is.
And he's got a pretty heavy lead. And then he picked up some endorsements along the way. So that's kind of interesting that they're both going after each other in that way. I don't know what else they can get each other for, but that seems to be what they're going for. And then in the Republican runoff, right now, we're just kind of in a endorsement off, mm-hmm. if that makes sense. You're seeing them both pick up endorsements left and right. Like over the weekend, Dobson picked up, I think it was the Alabama Farm Pack.
I can imagine that.
I think she got the endorsement from them over the weekend. And she's also had the Forestry Foundation, the State Forestry Foundation, peanut producers.
She's getting the ags.
She's getting the ags and the packs, but she's also got, you know, David Sessions, state senator, mm-hmm. endorsed her. So did Jack Williams. You've got both the current and former Mobile County sheriffs who have endorsed her.
Yep.
And Keith Blackwood, the Mobile district attorney.
She's the Mobile endorsement. She is the one
on
that
the Republican
they feel
side.
Like that she is going to represent Mobile. Those are some heavy hitters. And you're right. I don't think that means That doesn't mean anything. And in her commercial, she's riding off like the Lone Ranger. She's on a horse, which I thought was, you know, and of course, candidates have very little to do with exactly what they're asked to do in a commercial. They leave it to the experts. But you can see that she's very comfortable on a horse.
Oh, yeah.
And so that's one of her tactics. And
if she's elected to Congress, I'd say she's probably the best horseback rider immediately.
I think if she's elected to Congress, she horsebacks to D.C.
D.C., maybe. Brubaker's picked up some endorsements, too. Some of his former opponents, Wallace Gilberry and Hampton Harris. But he also, nationally, Mike Flynn, the lieutenant general.
Yeah.
Eagle Forum, Veterans for Trump. So you've seen some names come in endorsing Brubaker, too, who, like, figures a fairly heavy favorite heading into that runoff.
Going to be interesting, and it's only 2 weeks from tomorrow, right?
Yeah, that's right.
8:51, Dan and Dalton in Mobile Mornings.
Thank you, Kane. 8:55, FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile Mornings. And if you missed it, maybe some rain moving in tomorrow night. Should be out of the way by Wednesday morning when everyone's headed off to work. After that, everything looks beautiful weather-wise. Just looking at Saturday, sunny, high near 75. Saturday night, we dipped to around 50 degrees. Sounds like the perfect day, and I'll be outside all day and hope you join me out at the second annual Discover North Baldwin Outdoor Expo. We'll be at Bicentennial Park in Stockton, just like we were last year. That's this Saturday, and it's an all-day event, so you know, if you've got stuff to do in the morning, show up at lunch or the afternoon or vice versa. Get out there in the morning and then get your stuff done later in the day. You're going to really, really enjoy coming out to see the Discover North Baldwin Outdoor Expo in Stockton at Bicentennial Park. Last year, we had a great time. They had music all day in between the musical performances, which included some bluegrass. We had a great American Idol contestant who played some for us. But they had these great demos on a number of outdoor things. You got Captain Bobby Ebrescato, who's our favorite fishing guide here. And he's so great. He answers all the questions. You come up to him and say, hey, man,
love
I've been
Bobby.
Dealing with this. He says,
love
I would do this, take care of it. He gives his own demonstration.
Mm-hmm.
So come check out Captain Bobby Ebrescato. We'll also have world champion turkey callers, Kenny Weiss Sr. and his son, KJ. They'll be there again this year like they were last, plus plenty of food and the vendors and businesses that come out and the people. It's a great time. And I'll have a bunch of the FM Talk 106.5 buckets to give away, which are a new hot item. So come out Saturday, Bicentennial Park, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. in Stockton, the second annual Discover North Baldwin Outdoor Expo. Check them out online, northbaldwinchamber.com.
Talk about outdoor experts. You're going to have it's going to be emceed by the host of Snowboarding Today, Dalton Horwick, who just showed me his email that he's getting all the time from some snowboarding place.
Snowboarder newsletter.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't know. And I've unsubscribed, nothing's happening.
Can't shake it.
Summerdale Tony asking on the text line, what the heck does hypersexualize mean? I think that came up in that 1819 news. Well, it just means someone who's very sexualized, I guess. Like the ADD of sexualization.
Yeah.
I don't know. ADHD.
It's like porn. If you saw it, you could identify it. You can't. And then a judge said that one time. It's like,
yeah,
if you look at the language, you would say this is a little hyper sexual.
Yeah. Let's see. Jerry in Fort Morgan. Let's see if this text will come up. He says, and I think he's talking about Dobson here. Certainly hope she has, let's see, in the text line completely. I certainly hope she has a much better understanding of the Second Amendment than the sheriff. Talking about Sheriff Birch there, Jerry is. Let's see. Roy in Spanish Fort, he's having some issues with a newsletter, unsubscribing, and it keeps coming back. So a lot of people are dealing with the same thing. Here's one I wanted to read. Paul. So we talk about this bridge that came down. He says the federal and state governments mostly self-insure. The container ship that hit the bridge probably has liability insurance, but the limits probably will not come even close to covering the cost. As we were talking about how much of a role insurance plays in rebuilding after a disaster like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, because Biden was quick to say, hey, we got this. And we're like, how?
Mm-hmm.
8:59 FM Talk 106.5, Dan and Dalton, and we'll see you tomorrow. Jeff Forshow's on the way next.
Congressman Jerry Carl in hour number one.